Welcome into another edition of the Bama Baseline Podcast. We're back in with you a day later than usual because we were busy building an ark here in Tuscaloosa. The flood has come and we were gathering our gopher wood.
A magnificent flood it was.
It's still coming. I mean, it doesn't seem to
the
be letting up.
Magnificent flood.
Letting up anytime soon, but we've got basketball to talk about. So we climbed in our kayaks. We rode on down to the studio and we recorded this for you guys here today. I'm James Fletcher, as always, with Luke Ratliff and Trevin Pierre-Noel. And we're going to talk some Alabama basketball today. We've got, in the first segment, a little bit of a recap on the week of Alabama basketball. Started off a little bit rough, but we got things turned around. Hopefully, Kyra Lewis's career performance has us back on track and in contention. And then in the second quarter, I guess we're going in three today. So we're going to do
doing
it in
hockey
second,
rules.
Second,
third. You're doing hockey
yeah,
rules.
You wrote the
second
script.
Period. I did doing write the rules. Script. Second period. We're going to talk celebrity all-stars. We're also going to talk NBA All-Star Weekend, Colin Sexton, and more in the second segment. And then in the third, we will end things today by talking about this Auburn matchup coming up and the LSU matchup ahead. We're coming into a really important week here. Two big matchups with top 25 teams. Of course, the first one on the road against Auburn.
Gross.
We beat them here. It's time to beat them there. Down on the plains.
Hate Auburn.
LSU, of course, we lost that one, but now it's time for the bounce back in our own gym, and we're giving out hard hats. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, hard hats this Saturday. Make sure you get there. 2,500, is that right, Luke?
2,500, as most people call it. Tide, this is an interesting stat. 1-0 and undefeated in hard hat games.
Yep.
So, looking forward to it this weekend. But, guys, let's talk hoops from this past week. Alabama, of course, Tuesday. 1 week ago from the day we're recording this on Tuesday the 11th. 1 week ago from the day Alabama took on Tennessee in Coleman Coliseum. Guys, it was, I don't know.
Well, the first half we got out to a little bit of a lead. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a great start by any means, but you felt good that they left halftime with an 8-point lead, even though they had their struggles. They got on a little run. Tennessee came back with a little run, but went into halftime with an 8-point lead. You felt pretty good considering the lack of production you had from Kyra Lewis and John Petty during that first half. But that second half, man, I mean, right off the jump, things started going south.
Yeah, it was you look at the end of the game, it's easy to look now after the game at things that went wrong. Alabama, of course, got, you know, I won't say dominated on the boards, but didn't rebound very well. There were a bunch of, you know, just unlucky things that happened. When I say unlucky things, I mean Tennessee shot 32 free throws to Alabama's 8.
There's no reason that should happen.
Yeah, that's pretty unlucky. But I don't know. I never felt safe. I believe the Tide built a 15-point lead, was it?
Yeah.
Sometime during that game. And I just, you know, sitting there, I never felt safe that they were going to win. And that really, it's just, we talked about last show too, playing injured, playing with, you know, limited rotation, not many guys coming off the bench. Will the Tide be able to adapt quickly to it? In that game, they didn't. They didn't really find a way to adapt to the game with playing only 7-8 bodies.
Right, and then you go from 8 bodies down to 5 when all 3 of your big men foul out of the game. And, I mean, with crucial minutes upcoming in the second half, we're left with 5 people in the rotation, including Beadle Bolden, who was not supposed to be a full participant in that game. He was supposed to be working his way back. But you know, you don't want to play him that many minutes, but when Beadle Bolden's having eat up minutes of your center, that's never a recipe for success down the stretch. And Jalen Forbes, you really feel for him. He's he's building this season. You can see the progression. It hasn't come all the way together yet, but he gets a little more confidence, I think, every game he plays in. The more he's out there on the floor, the more I feel like he's starting to get used to things and really get into the rhythm of the game. Yeah. But it just hasn't fully come together. But when he's forced out there on the floor in a crucial situation and he gets a chance around the rim, through no fault of his own, that shot was blocked. I mean, surrounded by defenders. But then, of course, Tennessee gets the ball, fouled. They go to the free throw line, hit two shots, and then with a four-point game, Kyra Lewis comes down and hits a three to end it, making it a one-point loss rather than a four-point loss. Final score, of course, 69-68.
Right. It was, you know, just tough, heartbreaking. Yeah. If you're a fan of the Crimson Tide, and you know, after that game, you just look as quickly as you can to Saturday. Yeah. For something better on the road, and what was supposed to be a sold out Stegman Coliseum. Yeah. A sold out Stegman Coliseum.
Well, before we get to Georgia, yeah, I've got a question for you, Luke. I got his side of the argument, but I haven't gotten yours yet. Yeah. Now I asked. I asked Fulkerson after the game.
This Fulkerson cat.
Yes. John Fulkerson from the University of Tennessee, a native of that Knoxville area. I asked him after the game about Luke and his chant of "get a haircut." And Fulkerson informed me that he actually scheduled a haircut for the day after the game, almost a week before it started. Now, Luke, knowing now what you know about Fulkerson and his haircut plans, what is your reaction to the situation?
You know, he came actually because where we sat in Coleman Coliseum, Coach Rick Barnes and Tennessee players that go to media availability, they have to walk right in front of us after the game to go talk to the media, do the press conference. So actually, James, I heard it before y'all did.
Yeah.
He came, he and another Tennessee player, I'm blanking on the name right now, forgive me for that.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Travis.
but they came up. Go to Tennessee, it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, but, you know, folks, he was such a good sport about it. He came up and he told us, we all shared a laugh. He told us, he said, you know, before the game, I had just made an appointment to get my hair cut tomorrow. And I'm like, well, don't tell us that. I like to think that, you know, we influence that. But anyways, you know, he balled out there. I mean, what do you have, 18 points? How did that happen?
He had 22 by the end of the game.
22. Oh, he shot free throws. That's why. Yeah. 22. How did this guy get 22 points on us?
I'm really not sure. I'm really not sure. But he had a heck of a game. Shot as many free throws as the Tide. He shot eight free throws throughout the game. Went 6 of 8 from the line. Trevin, I know you're big on free throw percentages, but how big are you on free throws attempted?
That is something that matters to me a lot. Thank you, James, for bringing that into it.
Finally.
Thank you, yeah. There's no reason on God's green earth that we should be outshot at the free throw line by that much at home. There's something fishy about that.
You're absolutely right.
There's no way that we should be outshot at the free throw line at home by that much.
Speak up.
It's utterly ridiculous. Like, to have three guys foul out, and I'm trying to look here.
With viable minutes left,
and like only two Tennessee players even got close with four fouls, and you have like three guys over there with zero. Like, they had 14 fouls, but we only went to the foul line four times. But we get 26, and they're over there just pounding away. Like, what is going on? Who is in charge? I need a man.
SEC call Greg. That's who's
call
in
Greg.
Charge.
Call Greg. Get him on the line.
Greg
Sankey, commissioner of the SEC. Get him on the line. Something is wrong. Something is fishy about that officiating that game. I appreciate it.
And it's never a good sign.
The refs took us out that game. We should have won. Three-point line, we demolished them. Field goal, we demolished them. I'm mad about that. I'm sorry.
You have a right to be. But, you know, on this podcast, we don't blame officiating for losses, especially one-point losses like this one,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
My emotions get me that one.
But we...
this is what we get for bringing him into the show, finally.
But I will say, it's never... I consider myself well-versed in the officiating community, and I'm very knowledgeable about who these officials are, college basketball officials, and which ones I can recognize right off the bat. I knew not a single person in this game. This seemed like a game to me where the SEC assigned a new crew playing their first power, I call it Power Six game. And it just, right then, I never felt, I was uneasy about it from right then. But again, we don't blame the officials, even though it's easy to.
No, but before we do, let's go ahead and move to this Georgia game.
So let's move to this Georgia game. And guys, Bama baseline had boots on the ground per usual.
Yeah, and everyone raise your hand if you were in the state of Georgia when this one tipped off.
Ooh. All three of us are raising our hands. This is new.
But are all three of us telling the truth, Trevin?
Yes, I was in the state of Georgia during this time.
I'm impressed.
I was not at Stegman, but I was in the state of Georgia.
I will say this. I got some beef with the University of Georgia.
Please speak on it.
They announced this a sellout like 3 days in advance. Georgia versus Alabama in Stegman Coliseum. Now, it did snow. All right.
Yeah.
We'll say this. And Stegman Coliseum.
We all know about snow in the South.
Right. You shut down
the city.
Yeah. But they sold this joint out, is what they said. And it seats 10,500 people. 10,500, if I'm not mistaken. Now, as someone who was there, there was maybe 6,500 people in the gym. Maybe. Maybe I was one of them. But, you know.
Just so you know, Luke, according to ESPN, they are counting attendance at 10,000 people for that game.
They lied. Huh. They lied. Now, I don't want to call the University of Georgia liars, but, you know, they lied about this one.
All right.
But anyway, let's move on to the game.
Moving on to the game. Alabama came out again. They got a first half lead, 45-41. It was a real shootout in that first half, and you thought, well, that both teams were firing in the first half, but we'll slow things down. We'll have a little more defense in the second. That was not the case because both teams, in fact, scored more points in the second half than they did in the first, and we ended up with a game that was already in the 90s before it headed to overtime. Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful basketball.
It's fun to watch.
Beautiful basketball. It's fun to watch.
Now, yeah. I do think that we benefited a little bit here from Anthony Edwards, who, according to all the reports, was under the weather.
According to myself.
That's fine with me. That's fine with me. Our team is under the radar with all our injuries, so that's fine with me. Be under the weather.
Yeah, but, you know, that was a really, really good game for Alabama to win, considering Georgia, in conference play at least, not very good. I'll say it like that. They got really good players. Rayshon Hammonds, Anthony Edwards, the point guard.
Sevier Wheeler.
Yeah, that's his name. Yeah. But they just haven't seemed to figure it out recently. You know, they came off a really bad loss against Florida where they blew a 20-plus point lead. And I felt this whole time like, you know, it's a very gettable game for Alabama, as have been the past couple of games. But short bench, how will the Tide respond? And they came out firing on all cylinders, in my opinion. You know, 45-41 at halftime, Alabama led. And then the second half, you know, the first 4 minutes of the second half, Georgia, here they come.
Right.
Here they come. It was a weird thing to watch, you know. Georgia came out down 12 at some point in that game.
Yep.
Or they weren't down. Were they down 12?
I believe we had a double-digit lead at some point.
We did. And they came out at half, firing on all cylinders. Then we were down 12 or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, we were down by at least 10, I think. I think there were double-digit leads on both sides at different points in the game, if I remember correctly.
And I remember looking, I was sitting in the Alabama fan section, that's what I call it. And I remember looking at people, it's like, something's got to change here. We got to turn it up here. We got to go on a run.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, if Kyra Lewis didn't show up, and he made his presence known this game, 37 points, what was it, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, something like that, or 7 rebounds, 5 assists?
7 assists, 5 rebounds.
Wow.
Incredible. 2 steals and a block as well.
Incredible. He was all over the place this game. And in a good way. You know, we've seen our players be all over the place in a bad way.
Yes.
But he was all over the place in a good way and facilitating on the offensive end and being a Minnesota defensive end the way we know he can.
I think the only time where he wasn't just dominating the game. The only play where I look back and say, well, maybe Kyra could have done something else is when he got called for that charge with 2 seconds left. I think that was the only thing that I would call a mistake
that he did. To pick up his fourth foul.
In the whole, right. And
we forget about that.
That was the key of it, was not only are you giving them the ball with a chance to hit a buzzer beater, but if we go to overtime, you can't foul anymore. Mm-hmm. But I do think outside of that one mistake there, down the stretch, Kyra Lewis played nearly a perfect game. I mean, yeah. His free throw numbers weren't what you would like for them to be, but
that volume, that's what you like. As long as you're getting to the line, if you're shooting 15 free throws, you can slack on percentage because you're affecting them mentally on the other side because you're getting them fouls. Now that everybody's like, oh, they have to play a little bit more timid. Kyra's coming down the lane and getting these fouls every single time. Like, you know, so it's fine. I'm fine with them. As a team, they shot well from the free throw line. So, you know, everybody else picked up the slack that Kyra might have been missing those. 3-point, good as always. Field goals, good as always. You know, they had a great performance overall as a team. They had a great game. Kyra Lewis, of course, amazing job. Shout out to John Petty coming out, being a rebounding monster that he is.
Bounce back game for John Petty.
Really, he played. I want to talk about John Petty right quick. I'll let you finish in a second.
I just had one more shout out.
Go ahead.
And I was just going to shout out all the guards who had to deal with Anthony Edwards. And they met, even though he had a flu. I mean, that's still Anthony Edwards.
That's still Jordan.
That's still a top three pick right there in the NBA draft coming soon. And they managed to affect him to where he had a terrible night.
John Petty locked him up on the defensive end. I believe he scored
10 points.
He scored on John Petty.
Oh, on John Petty. I don't have those kind of advanced.
What were you talking
analytics.
About?
No, Edwards had 14. Excuse me.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's not a stats guy. I'm the stats. You know,
yeah.
Trevor only reads percentages.
I may be wrong here, but I think Anthony Edwards only scored 6 of his 14 points on John Petty, and 2 came from the free throw line, if I'm not mistaken. The other points came whenever we were rotating with either Jayden Shackelford or whoever else was coming off screen on defense.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, really, that was the bright spot. That was one bright spot of the game. I want to talk about something else, too, because I really enjoyed watching it, and you could tell by the end of the game because he was just gassed. Javion Davis played – play your heart out, my man. Come on. How cool was that to watch him? He was – and he's so – we've said it here on the show before. He's so crucial to our team's success because he has such great – body control in the lane, and he can finish at the rim very well. And when he's going, when we up against a smaller team, of course, like Georgia, and kicking myself for not being able to use him as effectively in the past week against Tennessee and Arkansas. But still, this guy played. You see him come out of the game in the overtime with cramps all over.
Mm-hmm.
Had to get an IV after game. Won the Hard Hat Award.
He deserves it.
And he absolutely deserved it. He played his heart out in that game.
It's like since Herb is out, everybody's like, oh, the Hard Hat's up for grabs. Gotta get it.
We have a chance.
Gotta go get it.
Herb Jones has
like
been hard.
Like when Michael Jordan left the league, everybody's like, oh, we can go get it now. Yeah. Herb's on now.
Herb Jones has been hoarding that Hard Hat Award for the whole season.
I think Oates said he had over a third of their
Hard Hat
points at one point during the season. But when we come back for the second segment, we're going to talk some NBA All-Star Weekend with you guys. That's coming up in just a couple days. You're listening to the Bama Baseline Podcast.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome back in to the Bama Baseline Studios. We're here on a Tuesday, of course. Tuesday the 11th. This should be available for you sometime soon. But we're back here. We're talking a little bit. This coming weekend is All-Star Weekend in the NBA. So let's talk about it.
Best weekend let's of talk the year.
It's Trevin's favorite weekend of the year.
Best weekend.
I want to talk about something right quick.
Go ahead.
He wasn't originally named to the Rising Stars team for whatever reason that we're not willing to discuss.
Yeah, no.
Because we don't know.
We do not.
But Colin Sexton, C, Young Bull, he's back. He's in the Rising Stars game representing the great United States of America team. against the Internationals, of course.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I'm excited to watch him and John Morant play together.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Hey, look, I'm excited for that, but I'm more excited of having the trio of Miles Bridges, Trae Young, and Zion on the floor together. Because I think it's going to be some magic out there.
All right, so talk to me right quick. Give me what would your starting five for the Rising Stars game be? Obviously, Colin Sexton
for the U.S. for the U.S. team.
Yes, obviously, just the U.S. Obviously, Colin Sexton at one.
Right? Colin Sexton at one.
Then four scrubs.
Right. Yeah, that's a good team. I don't know if they would win against the world, but I think it'd be a good team. It's a good team put together. But no, I'm very excited about the NBA All-Star Weekend. I think the Rising Stars Challenge is probably one of the most underrated games. It used to be the freshman-sophomore game, and they kind of have retooled it like USA versus the world. But, you know, I think it's one of the most amazing events that they put on because it gives the young guys who may not necessarily have the cachet yet to make the All-Star game, get that exposure and get that playing time. And, you know, It's a lot of fun for them, and you get to see the next generation grow up. Like, I still remember Kyrie Irving crossing over, Brandon Knight. Yeah, he dropping him on the floor. I think Brandon Knight had a tough night, then I think he got dropped twice.
He's had a bunch of tough nights.
I had his All-Star Edition shoes.
Well, you messed up. So you bet on the wrong horse.
Fun fact of the day.
You bet on the wrong horse. But, yeah, I still remember those events. You know, I just think it's a great time. You know, I love the skills challenge, the slam dunk contest. I just love all of it. It's just great.
That Friday and Saturday, and we'll talk about this in a second.
Sunday's not as fun for me.
Sunday, who cares about the actual game, right? But that's
like this year.
Friday and Saturday because you have the celebrity game and the Rising Stars challenge. And
then also Friday's going to steal the show this year.
Really?
Yeah. I think Friday will steal the show.
Friday because you have the Rising Star and the celebrity game.
Well, we got to think about this too.
Stephen A. Smith.
Yes.
Is the head coach.
With assistant coach Guy Fieri.
And it's going to be incredible.
Oh, it's going to be good.
And
it's
going to be amazing. From what I understand, they will likely be mic'd up through the
whole
game.
Of course. They're always going to be mic'd up. There's going to be interviews throughout. There's going to be trash talking on both sides.
This is the XFL of the NBA.
And Stephen A. has talked about on First Take his strategy as the coach of this team.
Well, looking at his team, he just needs to play Quavo and Asia Wilson for half, like, the entire game.
Is that former South Carolina Gamecock
Asia
Wilson?
Yes, Asia Wilson.
All right.
Just go ahead and play Quavo, Asia Wilson, and sprinkle in Chance the Rapper. I promise you, you'll get a victory, Stephen A.
But let's talk this. We'll talk celebrity All-Star Game in a second. We have a great list segment coming up for you. Let's talk something else. G League action.
Yes.
Dante Hall named midseason All-Star G League team. Dante Hall. We're so proud of him.
Almost there. They got rid of Andre Drummond. The call is coming soon, baby.
I was about to talk about that call up. A lot of Alabama fans have wondered, why hasn't he been called up? Why won't they do it? Here's the deal with that and what I think will likely happen. He'll be called up after the All-Star break ends when the 10-day contract period begins.
Yep.
I expect him to get a 10-day contract. From there, you can sign a second 10-day contract. After that, the team has to decide whether they want to sign you for the rest of the season or if they want to send you back to the G League. Mm-hmm. That, I think, is the most likely scenario for Dante Hall after this All-Star break, is that he gets one of those 10-day deals so that they can test the waters on it and see how things go.
I think it's a very smart idea for them to go ahead and just bring him up. I think he'll be a great replacement for Andre Drummond. And I think I think he's more of an improvement, honestly, in the way you want to play basketball nowadays. I think he's a great partner alongside Blake Griffin in the fact that he can spread the floor, and apparently he can shoot a three-pointer now. So think about it. You can have five guys out, and you still have the size to put two in if you want. Mm-hmm. Like, just think about how much fun a coach can have with that. Dante Hall's unselfish, athletic, run the floor. He'll work alongside Derrick Rose on the pick and roll. Give the man a call up.
He's made for this new style of NBA we're seeing, where there's so much spacing on the floor and so much more running of the floor now. We always talk about a great big is someone who can run the floor.
He's a gazelle.
He is something else. And you touched on a while ago, he is shooting. I wouldn't say shooting the lights out.
Hey, but he doesn't shoot. He doesn't have to shoot the lights out at his position. He just has to shoot good enough that they keep the electric bill on.
Okay.
That's all you have to do. Just keep the electric bill on. All right? Just keep the electric on.
Absolutely. But we need him to get called up to the Pistons so I can go to – I haven't looked at schedule, but I need to go to Atlanta or Memphis to see him play in the NBA because he's been awesome. Yes. He really has. Let's talk – you know what? Let's do a collective – we mentioned – I teased it a while ago. We have a list for you.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to do is top five celebrity
all-star
players. Yes. These are people who have not played
– any basketball – that means WNBA and NBA, they are automatically canceled out.
So I got – here's a proposition. We didn't talk about this in the pre-show. Let's just do a collective five here.
Okay.
Keep it concise. Right. Collective five. Now, I think we're all in agreement on this. Quavo, the rapper, won the Migos.
Yes, Quavo, yes.
Are we all in agreement
here? I think Quavo has
Quavo is in this. His performance last year is legendary amongst all-star games, okay? Let me tell you. The man was shooting lights out, commanding the floor, and he's back with a vengeance. He's already been practicing with the likes of Drake and Justin Bieber. Yeah. I think Quavo's going to be a great addition this year to the team. I pick him to be the MVP of the all-star game. If I was a betting man, that's where my money would go.
All right, and I think in the interest of making this a nice round where we all pick one each to add into the starting five, I think we can all agree on Kevin Hart as well. Four-time Celebrity Game All-Star.
Well, that's just because he's famous.
He's basically Robert Horry.
We are talking about the celebrity All-Star.
He's got the rings. He's got the cachet. But he's never been the best player on the team.
That's a bold statement.
That is a bold statement. Kevin Hart is just a nuisance. He averages 2 points a game.
Kevin Hart was once a player coach.
You remember that?
He was also once a coach. And then in the fourth quarter decided to become a player coach.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a sneaky one. You know, for the cachet, for the fame. And you know, just for the laughs,
he calls a four-time MVP sneaky good.
I mean, he's just a sneaky pick. If I was on the team, I wouldn't want Kevin Hart. But I'm fine with Kevin Hart being on there for the cachet.
I think too. Here's someone else. We'll agree on Kevin Hart, of course. So now we've got
we'll let Kevin Hart in.
All right. Quavo won the Migos.
We've got our
of
starting backcourt.
Yes, Quavo and Kevin Hart, of course.
Yes.
Kevin Hart running point because I don't see him. With all due respect, tall enough to do anything else. And I do mean all due respect. How about this? He broke out, had a breakout game a couple of years ago. And when I say a couple of years ago, I mean like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
In the Celebrity All-Star game. Former Secretary of Education, Arnie Duncan.
Yes.
He's got to be on.
He was electric.
He is the Tim Duncan of the All-Star game. You need a back shoulder, a sleepy 21, give it to Arnie Duncan.
Sleep with the left hand, too.
Sleepy 21, get Arnie Duncan on the line. Yeah. I love Arnie Duncan in the Celebrity All-Star game.
We have harped a chord here with Trevin.
He hasn't talked this much the whole show. I love the Celebrity All-Star game. I have not missed a Celebrity All-Star game in 10 years.
Wow.
I watch it every year. I know this like the back of my hand. All right?
Incredible. Well, give us someone else. Let's see if we can agree on it.
All right. J. Cole at power forward.
I have a personal vendetta against J. Cole.
That's fine if you don't like his music. But as a basketball player, the man can ball.
It ruined it for me. Yeah. His music ruined his basketball career for me.
He's a good 6'4", 6'5", if I'm not mistaken. The man's tall. He can dunk, and he has a shot. J. Cole, he's a sleeper in there.
All right, we'll put him on there. Well, round us out here, Jay.
Here's another one. I think this one should be pretty unanimous. Mark Lazary, Bucks owner.
I remember that.
And all-star game legend.
Yes. Yes.
Every year he goes out there.
He tries.
Gives it his best effort.
He tries.
I love how we're having a really good segment here, and then we got really good players: Quavo, Kevin Hart, former Secretary of Education. Arnie Duncan. Then the James.
Our list is so versatile if you think about it.
Yeah, then James hits us over the head with Bucks Homer, Mark Lazary.
Not even Mark Cuban, who's also made appearances in the All-Star game.
That is a good one, but we already had our backcourt set. I needed someone with some height.
Okay.
I was torn. I here's the thing also. I was going to go 2 Chainz, but you went the rapper route. With J. Cole. I didn't want to double down on the rappers. See, no,
but here's can swap them out.
Are you fine with swapping them out?
I'm fine with swapping them out. I don't like J. Cole anyways. I'll go on record with
you know what? That's right. Fine. 2 Chainz can ball, and also Uncle Snoop can ball as well.
Yeah.
So we'll just do the dread trifecta of J. Cole, Snoop, and 2 Chainz. We'll just call them the Dread Boys. That'll be the spot. Right.
That's good. We'll keep Mark Lazary. We'll do that.
We have to.
What about my man T.O.?
Somebody's got to leave
Terrell Owens. I didn't say they couldn't play football. What about my man T.O.? The man can go off the floor. He can dunk.
You're exactly right.
There's so many.
Let's close out this segment. We want to hear from you. What do you guys think? Hit us up on Twitter, at Bama Baseline on Twitter. Tell us who, if you could have one celebrity in the All-Star game, not named who we named here, tell us who it is. Hit us up on Twitter, at Bama Baseline. We'll come back next segment. We'll look forward, preview the week ahead for Alabama basketball.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome back into the Bama Baseline podcast, our final segment of the day. We're going to get you ready for 2 huge basketball games that will take place between now and the next time we speak with you. We've got a game on the road against Auburn that we'll touch on. And then we've got a home matchup with the LSU Tigers. Both of those will be the second of the season in those series, those matchups with those teams. It's a week to hate the Tigers, guys.
Yeah, the Tigers are stupid.
It's always a great week to hate the Tigers.
So let's get into it. Let's talk about this.
Hey, hold on real quick. Speaking of big games, we're recording this show right now on Tuesday night. I'm looking on my phone. We got a close game in Memorial Gym between Kentucky and Vanderbilt. It's a 5-point game with 14 left.
Why did Vandy decide now to get good?
I think they waited for us to play them.
They just had to break the mold, really. I think that's what it was.
They waited for us to play them, then they got good. It's actually respectful. But I respect
you it. You know what? That's fine. Just don't beat us in Coleman. Yeah, just hit this plateau and then just come back down to earth. That's
but 4-14 left in the second half. This is live score update on the podcast. 4:14 left in the game, 62-57 Kentucky, Vanderbilt ball. But let's move on. Let's talk. Let's take our minds off this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk this week. James mentioned it. Big week ahead. Great week to hate the Tigers. James, what we got?
Well, we got this Auburn game coming up.
Boo.
On Wednesday, probably when this will release. So you guys make sure you listen. You're in the third segment by now, so you're already listening if you're hearing this. But go ahead and keep listening because we're going to preview this Auburn game, get you ready for possibly tonight, maybe last night's game. Who knows? Maybe you're listening to this on Friday or Saturday and it's been a couple days. But we're going to get you ready for it. Alabama and Auburn down in Auburn, Alabama. What do you guys got in this game?
I got this. I want to preface everything I say with this. I think the 1996 Chicago Bulls would be a 3-point dog in Auburn Arena. That's just what I think. And I think if you watch any of the LSU-Auburn game this past Saturday, you'd agree with me because LSU up 8 with a minute left and still lost that game in the overtime.
I watched that game in a restaurant that I was at, and it was you kept looking up at the scoreboard and saying, well, they're still going to win.
Yeah.
Well, they're still there.
They're going to pull this off.
Well, at least they're going to overtime. And then it quickly snowballed.
I'm watching that game on my phone driving through the snow on my way to Athens, Georgia to watch the Tide play. And I'm just thinking this whole time, a little over a minute left, it's an 8-point lead for LSU. I'm like, okay, maybe we can breathe. Maybe we can breathe, right? Because Auburn is the most they're the most beatable good team in the country, in my opinion. They're very beatable. Now, outside Auburn Arena, of course, but a little less beatable in Auburn Arena, but it seems like every game, you've seen this when they played Ole Miss last Tuesday, I believe it was. They try to lose, and they just can't.
They still can't.
They just cannot lose.
Bruce Pearl's toying with me at this point. He's like, let's just make it as close as possible. Let's let Alabama fans sweat it out. Like, oh, maybe Auburn's finally going to lose again. Yeah. Just don't.
And they finally beat LSU at their own game. Yeah. LSU, who had gone down to the wire one, I don't even know what the streak was, but almost every game they were winning by one possession.
Yeah.
And now here comes Auburn. These LSU fans probably feeling pretty good still up, thinking, well, we've won everything that came within a possession. We'll be fine. And then Auburn able to pull out the win.
You're in Auburn Arena. That's a different story. I hate Auburn Arena. I think that's the most place I hate more. I think I hate Auburn Arena more than I hate Jordan-Hare Stadium. I'm just going to be honest. I hate it more than Neyland Stadium. I hate Auburn Arena. It's the worst place to watch a game of basketball.
When Auburn built Auburn Arena, whatever year it was,
they just didn't care about ticket sales.
They built it correctly. That's a different way I was going. They built it correctly in that they put all their students. They have a student section of about 1,900 students, I believe the number is.
I think it's three quarters of the court.
Yeah, and they put them on the floor.
It's three quarters of the stands.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. It is a cracker box gym, but down on the floor, it's a loud place. It's tough to play. Given, Alabama's lost, four straight games there, I believe it is. And it just seems – it reminds me so much of when Alabama would play Ole Miss in Tad Smith Coliseum. You go there, Ole Miss could, win four games a year, and they beat us there, right?
The old Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, right. It's just I don't want to say it's a cursed place, Auburn Arena is, but it's just – there's not much to look forward to when you go in there.
If there's any team – in the game of basketball, in college basketball, that can beat Auburn in Auburn Arena, I think it's this team.
I agree with that, and I think it's because rivalry games do something different.
Yep.
I mean, we saw a North Carolina team that had no business playing a competitive matchup against Duke.
I also want to toss this in there as well. They will be presenting the Iron Bowl trophy during this game as well.
That's dumb.
It's very dumb. But it gives another fuel to the fire of the Alabama players. Oh, so you're telling me I got to go to Auburn Arena
and fight the battles that our football team could.
And fight in Auburn Arena and watch them give that stupid trophy to the Auburn faithful and the SGA president and listen to them sing their stupid fight song. I'm not losing if I'm doing that. No, I'm not walking out here with an L if I got to listen to all that BS.
Let's talk about this for a second. What a dumb tradition that is. Give it out in the football game.
Yeah, I want the football team to look at us when we take the trophy. Like, yeah, we got it. Losers. Just do that. Come on. We don't need a waste for a basketball game. No, I want the losing team to look at the winning team and just like, nah, nah, nah. Like, we got it. Ha, losers. That's what I want.
All right.
Strong opinions in the last first segment, he had to ease into it. All right.
Sorry.
In the last two, though, Trevin has been on fire.
Auburn's stupid. This is a stupid place. If it wasn't for lemonade, there's no reason to go there.
Me and you are different here. That lemonade tastes like... We are so off the chart. That lemonade tastes like windshield wiper fluid. But anyway, getting back to the game.
I'm not going to say that. That's some dang good lemonade.
Anyways, Alabama... Wouldn't it be nice to have Herb Jones?
Yeah, it would be great.
Wouldn't it be so nice?
That matchup with Isaac Okoro would be...
Oh, yeah, he would win, so I'm not worried about that. Yeah. Herb wins that match.
And here's another key thing for me. If you're, defensive scouting for the Tide, you're looking. Auburn, when they came in to play Alabama back in January, last month, they weren't a very good – in my opinion, they were still a team trying to find their identity. Because in the past couple seasons, they've been just as fine.
We were the first challenge that they really faced.
Yeah. And they failed.
Right, but they were, past couple seasons, Auburn's been just on fire from outside the three-point arc, and that was their identity as a team, as a big run-and-gun team. They'll put up, 30-plus threes a game, of course, but...
The tables have kind of turned.
This year, it's sort of different because And I say this, but they're second in the conference and made three-pointers. Mm-hmm. Now, that wasn't the case the first time Alabama played them. But they've sort of hit their stride now. They're playing, in my opinion, their best basketball of the season. And it's because I believe they've been tested and they know what they can go through. But at the same exact time, I still maintain they're just waiting for someone to break them. They're just waiting to break.
And that's what we said last time this matchup came up. And so I do think that Alabama's got a better chance than they otherwise would. If this wasn't the Alabama-Auburn rivalry, I wouldn't give them much of a chance. But
and also,
I think they've got a little bit of a shot here.
Also, I still want to point out that, you know, Auburn has been very fortunate to play most of their SEC games for real at home. Most of the ones that they have on the road, they're batting 500 on the road, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not counting Mississippi State. They're basically batting 500 on the road right now. Excuse me, Ole Miss. I'm sorry. I'm not counting Ole Miss. At Ole Miss. I'm not counting them. I'm not counting Ole Miss. I'm not counting Ole Miss.
Trevin with
not.
A new system for a new ranking system. Teams.
Our new
you
system.
Pick and choose which games you want to count towards.
No, you have to be at least 500 in order for me to count you. Ole Miss doesn't count. So they're basically batting 500 on the road in the SEC this season. Mm-hmm. They've been very fortunate to have the best teams come to them so far.
You know, Trevin brings up a good point because Coach Oates talked about it today. In the media availability, their home, Auburn's home and away splits aren't, you know, it's a huge difference. Obviously, home court advantage, but at the same time, they're a far better team at home. And what's the kid's name? I'm blanking on the kid's name.
McCormick?
No, not Javon McCormick, not Samir Dowdy, not Austin Wiley, the new kid, the freshman kid. What's his name?
Okoro.
Devin Cambridge.
Cambridge.
Woof. Well, that was a journey there.
Hey, but you made it.
Devin Cambridge has scored, check me on this, but I think he scored 14 points outside Auburn Arena all season.
I know he had not scored really at all during the season until that one game where he caught fire.
Yeah.
And he's really found himself since then.
And then you've seen him this past game against LSU, they were playing very well. He was playing very well. But I'm going to be there. Tomorrow being Wednesday, of course.
Do you really want to know how many points he scored outside of Auburn Arena?
Yeah.
The answer is 2. He has scored 2 points outside of Auburn Arena this whole season.
There's just something up there, man. There's something up. You know, I don't know what it is. It's weird. I remember a couple of years ago, Alabama went down there to play just coming off that 4 overtime win against South Carolina. And went down there, and I think it was 20-4 at the under-16 timeout. And that was a bad Auburn team. That was the Auburn team that lost on Wednesday of the SEC tournament to Mizzou at the buzzer.
Auburn is 23 games into the season and has only played 6 road games.
The back half of their schedule.
Let's go ahead and
have
move
fun.
On here to this.
Yeah, let's move on.
Now to the other Tigers.
We've induced enough fear. Let's move on to Saturday and welcome our team back home.
Yes. And welcome Wendell Hudson to the arena as we honor him at Saturday's game. That'll be a great experience.
I can't wait for you, Trendy. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, Wendell Hudson, of course. Wendell Hudson, of course, getting his jersey retired, getting his number retired.
Yes, of course.
Here. Yeah. First in school history.
Only in school history.
Only one in school history have his jersey retired across any sport. Wendell Hudson, of course, first scholarship African-American student athlete here at the university. Well-deserved.
I think that's going to be one of the most special moments I think I will ever experience.
It sure is. It's
and
history.
And on a hard hat. Game.
It's a hard hat game. Yeah.
Hard hat game, jersey retirement, Trendon Watford. What more can you ask for?
We've got to be reaching a sellout already. We've got to be. And so by the time you listen to this.
We're actually very close to a sellout. I can speak on that.
You better make sure you go out and get your tickets because they're not going to last very long. We've been telling you for weeks now. You need to go, get them.
There's less than 100 tickets left.
Well, you heard it here. You need to go out. Get your tickets now because they will not last long. Make sure you're in the gym for all the things that we've brought up, this special game coming up Saturday against LSU. Let's talk a little bit about the game. We'll be brief with it. We got to get out of here soon. But what are the keys to Alabama winning this game against LSU on Saturday. Give me three each.
In my opinion, Emmett Williams for LSU is the best post, the best big man in the country. All right, in my opinion, just how athletic he is and how well he moves with the ball to be his size, and he can spread the floor as well and shoot it. He is the most athletic, most skilled big man in the country, in my opinion. You've got to limit his production because you can deal. This is a situation we've talked about before, and especially with Georgia coming up, we talked about on the last show. You know, maybe let one player do what he's got to do. In my opinion, it's you know, because LSU's got three guys that can kill you: Skylar Mays, Trenton Wofford, Emmett Williams. You need to pick one and say, just go, just let them have it, right? Just let Skylar Mays have 25 points. It's okay if we can, if Alabama can control the rest of the game defensively and, you know, contain Emmett Williams and Trenton Wofford and keep them from being forces on the inside like we know they can be. It'd be a good game for them. Another thing is, get back in transition. Alabama has not been playing the tempo they've wanted to the past couple of games. Of course, being shorthanded, but also, you know, other teams, Arkansas mainly, has done a great job at stopping that. Alabama's got to get back in transition, get back to running the game they want to run. We've seen it against Georgia, how well it worked and how, you know, running the floor disrupted that team. In my opinion, you got to get back to that. Trevin, what else you got for us?
So my person of the game, I like your pick. You got to let one of those three guys go. But the main person I'm usually worried about, and I saw him when he came here last time, and he just got on my nerves, and he also had a terrible haircut that got on my nerves as well. Javonte Smart, sneaky good. Sneaky good. He reminds me a little bit of.
He's loud good.
I say sneaky good because he's playing behind such great. He's playing with such great players on this team. They elevate his level. So I say sneaky good. Like, he's the fourth best guy on that team. But he reminds me basically of a knockoff Russell Westbrook, the way that he plays basketball. Like, he's just downhill, just running all the time, just energy. Javonte Smart gets on my nerves, and so limiting the head of the snake is going to be a very important thing. I definitely think that if you're going to pick one of the three guys, I definitely think you're going to have to let Skylar Mays go, and you just have to make sure Emmett Williams and Trenton Wofford don't get near the boards. Like, we're having trouble rebounding already. Let's try and, like, just at the whole time that they're down, like, they're down there or they're in the game, just push them out. Just everybody box out. Let Skylar Mays do whatever he wants and just let those, like, just box those two guys out so that way you can get the rebound. We cannot get out rebounding in this game. We will have a nightmare.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that rebounding will be key. And I'll say for my key to the game, I think it's really just going to be to shoot the ball well. I know that seems simple, but from
that's,
the perimeter,
that's a Trevin answer.
If Alabama wants to win, they should simply
put the ball in the basket.
Simply score points.
In the first matchup, we did not shoot well from the perimeter.
How troubling.
John Petty did not have a very good game, but I think if we can get Kyra Lewis going downhill and then have John Petty shooting well from the perimeter, of course, Jaden Shackelford hopefully will give you big production too. I think we could have a big game. And once we start seeing that score tick up towards the 80s, I like our chances. The higher the score gets, the better I like our chances.
That is true.
In this game. Also, before we wrap things up today, Trevin, I want to get your live reaction to this. You have besmirched the Ole Miss Rebels during this podcast. They have just beaten Mississippi State 83-58 tonight.
That's okay.
Good retort, Trevin. Okay. He blasphemed Kermit Davis' squad for a good 3 minutes.
Your good friend Brian Tyree put up 40 points.
My good friend. That's Luke's good friend. He's the one who wanted to fight him. Don't look at me like that. That's not me.
Trevin, that's the formula for our show. We're on here. It's. I say it all the time. It's James is here.
Hey, for real?
James, the house statistician. Just the consummate professional, beacon of journalistic integrity.
Where was the game? It was at Ole Miss. You know, Mississippi State can't do anything without cowbells.
And then there's Trevin and I.
You know what my favorite stat of all time is? My favorite stat that always makes me laugh Mm-hmm. Ole Miss does, or Mississippi State does not have a national championship in any team sport.
You know, and
zero.
Then it's just Trevin and I here gas bagging it up. And bringing, we're down here, and we're bringing James down with us. That's the formula.
Congratulations, Ole Miss. You are probably the second best team in Mississippi. That is, if that's what you want to be proud of, if that's what you want out of my reaction,
just let it be.
Just let it be. Probably Southern Miss. I don't know.
We got to get out of here. Thank you for listening to the Bama Baseline Podcast. I'm James Fletcher.
I'm Trevin Aaron-Willow.
And I'm Luke Ratliff. We'll talk to you again next week.
They got to play them again at the end of the year, so it's fine.